Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
All right, everybody, back by popular demand by both our DVM 360 team, as well as you, the listeners. We have the one and only Dr. June Long that's with us. How are you, Dr. Long?
I'm great. I'm happy to be back.
Well, thank you for having us. So, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about the what ifs, the what happens during a spay and neuter complication. And so, listeners, you're going to want to listen to this because she gives incredible, digestible, actionable items that you could do and understand. So to those of you that are new to Dr. Long, she has been a high quality, high volume spay neuter surgeon for over 6 years. She graduated from Auburn University's College of Vet Med in 2014. And on top of that, she was formally trained at the ASPCA Spay Neuter Alliance in 2016. She routinely performs approximately 30 to 40 surgeries a day and has completed around 30,000 sterilization surgeries during her career. Over the years, she's become comfortable performing more difficult surgeries, has mentored many veterinarians and vet students, and she enjoys sharing her knowledge with veterinary professionals and is the creator of the online course, The 6 Minute Spay, a race approval 100% online course that uses extensive video content to teach high quality, high volume spay neuter techniques. Dr. Long's been married for 11 years and has 3 daughters, 1 son, and 3 spoiled senior dogs. I don't know where she finds the time to do all of this, but I'm just blessed to have her with us right now. So, all right. Are you ready, Dr. Long? Let's get into some of these great questions because, you know, listeners, tune into this and I hope you get a pen and paper down because she's got some great advice for you. So what are the most common complications that you've seen during your career as a high quality, high volume spay neuter surgeon?
Well, being such a high volume or seeing such a high volume of patients in my career, I've kind of noticed some trends about things that I run into. And so I would say the most common things that I've seen are dropped pedicles, either due to like a fatty pedicle or a clamp failure. And these are all intra-op complications. So dropped pedicles. Also torn uteruses, especially with those postpartum friable uteruses, they like to tear. Sometimes it's a partial tear and sometimes it's a complete tear. Some of the other ones are torn pedicles, so they don't really drop back into the body, but you see a tear there kind of below your clamp, so that's always a little stressful to see. And then as far as post-op, they're always mainly related to like a hemoabdomen or maybe an incisional infection or seroma here and there. But the more stressful ones, I would say, are the intra-op ones, and you're wondering, what do I do now?
Right.
You know, the unexpected ones are the ones that have an intra-op.
Yeah, definitely intra-op. I always feel like sometimes either you're afraid to tug too hard on the suspensory ligament, right? And so you feel like you pull and all of a sudden you have it all in your hand. You're like, oh no, right? That has happened, I think, to all of us, I'm sure.
Those over-conditioned spays, you know, the pedicle feels large in your hands, but you don't realize how friable they can be with all that fat. Right. That to the pedicle. So yes, definitely.
What's up with some of the dog spays where you right around, this is just very jargon. I have no medical terminology to describe this, but like the left and right ovary, sometimes there's like that fatty blob that's there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just gets, sometimes it's hard to get your ligatures around.
Yeah. If there is a name, I am unaware of it too, but sometimes there is just that extra tissue there, and it just makes it more, you know, hard to handle with your hands. And then they tend to like to suck back into the abdomen, so it's harder to see and manipulate them. So yes, those are definitely the tricky ones.
Yeah. And so what is, would you say in your experience, the most difficult type of spay that's out there?
For me personally, and I'm sure it differs depending on the surgeon, the most difficult would be a fatty spay, no matter how big the dog is. I've had Chihuahuas and Yorkies, and they're so difficult because of their condition. So they everything is slippery, everything wants to rip, and I really have to take my time with those. And I also watch them very closely post-op as well. As far as the type of spay that I've seen that is more tricky with post-op complications, particularly hemoabdomens, are pregnant spays, because you know that everything is, all the vessels are bigger. You have to really tighten your ligatures really tight to make sure that you're getting that hemostasis. And then post-op things, you know, the uterus is gone, so everything shrinks. And so then your ligatures aren't always as tight as they were when you initially placed them because of that fluid loss in the tissue. So then you can see that shrinkage, and then your ligatures aren't tight enough. So as far as post-op complications, for me personally, will be the like the third trimester spays.
Yeah, those got to be really tough. I know. Oh, I know that sometimes, like, you know, it's, to your point with the fattiness that's there in these abdomens, I'll sometimes just put ligatures in like mesentery or whatever, just to prevent some of the bleeding, you know, because just because your visual field could just be so difficult and challenging, you know.
Yeah. So
what are some of those strategies to prepare for the event of a surgical complication from a spay or even a neuter?
So if something happens intra-op, something unexpected, like, you know, your pedicle rips or something tears, the first thing that I do is, you know, have that moment where you're screaming internally and you're mad. And then I just try to calm down. And something that has helped me is that I finish the spay or the neuter first. And that helps me because it kind of refocuses me to finish, you know, what you came to do. And then afterwards, go back and address the issue. And I know this is kind of scary to some because you're wondering like about blood loss or what's happening. But getting that part done kind of frees you up to really focus on addressing and remedying that complication itself. So that helps me.
I couldn't agree with you more. I say that the whole time when I have the new grads, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, the pedicles are up. I said, well, let's get the uterus out. Let's take everything out that we need to, and then go in and start to address things. And yeah, because you, otherwise it's just going to be a bloody mess in there. So it's something that works for me as well. So thank you for sharing that. And so to the listeners, this is a question that actually did come in that they wanted to ask you. Could you choose a complication and then walk us through a step-by-step? How would you manage that situation?
Sure. So we can take the common one, at least for me, is a torn, completely torn. We'll just completely tear. It's fatty and it just tore all the way, and you just kind of see it fall into the abdomen and you cry on the inside as it, you know, slips away from view. And so what do you know, if this were me, again, kind of going back to the previous question, is I just take that moment where I, you know, like, okay, this sucks. And just be okay with that. And then I would finish the spay. So if I had an ovary or a side ovary, then I would trace and address and take ligate the other ovary out, being very careful, knowing how viable the pedicles are in this patient. I would ligate the broad ligament, and then the uterine body, also being careful, finishing the spay, and then I would extend my incision. So my incisions are pretty small to begin with, and so I would definitely need to extend it to be able to visualize and get that dropped pedicle out. So I'd extend my incision cranially because I'm looking for an ovary,
right,
and use a lot of sponges, lap sponges, to kind of get that blood out of the way just so you can see your pedicle. And so what I'd look for would be especially in a fatty dog, is kind of a clump of tissue in the gutter, just caudal to the kidney, that looks torn and is bleeding. And, you know, if you need help, get another pair of hands to help, you know, with your visualization, reclamp that pedicle, and then tie it off as best you can, and try to keep knowing that it's friable. I typically do a lot of my spades outside the body, but in that case, I would try to keep everything inside as much as possible, just so I'm not putting a lot of tension on that pedicle.
Yeah, well said. And What's your go-to suture for those kinds of things, but drop pedicles more specifically?
I love PDS for everything. So I would still use it, no matter what the situation is. So just the size of it would depend on the size of the patient.
Yeah. And this might be a silly question. I'd like to know your feedback. When you have the drop pedicle, you have it tied off. Do you hold it, wait a few seconds, or do you wait a few seconds, hold it, and then release, wait a few seconds again, you know, just to see if there's any oozing?
Yeah. So I love to just stare at them.
I know. It's like watching paint to dry.
I would try to clear my gutter as much as possible, so I know that the, like, any blood that I see is new, and tie it off and then kind of put it back in its little home where it likes to live. And then just kind of, you know, look at it, push everything to the side and look at it for a while. And those are, can be tricky, especially the fatty ones, because they just like to ooze. Even though if you, you know, your ligature is good, there'll still be some oozing. And so you're like, is this oozing or is this something to be worried about? And in that case, I would watch, and, you know, the more you see, the more you can recognize if it's oozing versus hemorrhage. So if I was concerned with oozing, then I might think of something additional post-op, like a belly wrap or some sort of pressure bandage on the end to take care of any, you know, post-op oozing that might be going on. So.
Nice. Excellent. And, you know, I could just imagine. So I'm thinking of your course that you have online. And so, you know, with what we're just talking about, how does this all marry and come into play? So how does the 6-minute spay course mentor veterinarians in regards to managing these kinds of complications that we're chatting about?
What I really wanted for the course, there's a lot of benefits to the course, but one that I'm particularly proud of is I filmed a lot of my mistakes or a lot of the complications that came up just on a day-to-day basis, because I feel like it's very important to see those. And I'm a visual learner personally, but if I saw them happen, if I saw someone else work through successfully that situation, it would not only teach me what to do, but it would also kind of ease any anxiety that I would have, just being a surgeon in general, wondering what if this happened, what if this happened? Well, I saw on this course, this pedicle being repaired. I've seen it happen. I know it can be done. And I feel like that kind of eases any anxiety and brings confidence to the students of the course.
Excellent. Wonderful, Dr. Long. Well, I love that we chatted about this. And those of you that are listening, we have more podcasts in the pipeline with Dr. Long. So we're just getting started, everyone. So thank you so much, Dr. Long. Where can we go to learn more about the 6-minute spay?
Yes, so you can visit the website. It's just 6minutespay.com, and you can use the number 6 or write out the word 6. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram. I think I might be on TikTok now. I don't know.
Awesome. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been fantastic. And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in. This is really insightful information. I love podcasts that are quick like this. Easy tips that we do every day. So this has been great. Thank you so much, everyone. Stay safe out there. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. But first, don't forget to rate this podcast. Helps us out significantly. And we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.